أحمد الله رب العالمين حمد عباده الشاكرين الذاكرين، وأصلي وأسلم على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومصطفانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عدد خلقك وارضى نفسك وزنة عرشك ومداد كلماتك، وارض اللهم عن ساداتنا أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن الصحابة أجمعين وعن التابعين وتابعين بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. ثم أما بعد، dear brothers and sisters, inshallah today we just gonna about just to start this year. We tried last night, but time was so quick. So tonight, inshallah, I will get into the beginning, where we're gonna begin, because the seerah is really, really rich. But we're trying to, the more details you get, the more time you need, and we don't have the time. So I will try my best to give the knowledge in an incentive course, inshallah. But so let me start with the ayah of Surah Al-Hujurat. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa'alamu anna fikum Rasulullah. In Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah said, he was talking to the Ummah and said, be aware, the Prophet, he meant the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's among you. This ayah is revealed 1400 years ago, okay? But this ayah, we know the Quran is carried on till the Day of Judgment. But this ayah, when you look into it, why Allah put this ayah, said, be aware that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is among you. Does he among us now? He's passed away, does he? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what is it left from him? Sunnah. That's what he meant. That's what Allah Azza wa Jalla meant. His behavior, his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what is left from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now. And let me ask a question. Most of us got daughters, son, parents. Let me just say how much you love your kid. It's an obvious question, isn't it? Like literally limitless. You can't put a limit to how much you love your kids, can you? I have myself. It's something feeling there. But if I told you why you love your kids, not how much, why? You probably would say, because it's my kid. Dear, you simply, that simple answer, isn't it? There's no justification to a person who loves someone else, does it? There's nothing. But what if I told you how much you love the Prophet? How much? 1 out of 10. Would you be able to say 10? Okay, for Gaba, we know. Okay, this question is it's very tricky, because we know we love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Deep inside, we know we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if I told you what number out of 10, what is your symbol you're gonna choose? Like, because the way we love the Prophet is the way we follow his sunnah. The way we love the Prophet is the way we follow what he used to do. The way we love the Prophet, then now put yourself out of 10. This is the way. Even the Prophet Muhammad himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى أَكُونُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَمَالِهِ. If the Prophet said, your iman is not completed until you love me more than your own family. Who had this courage? Who had this love in his heart to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Remember, he's the one who's going to stood in the Day of Judgment there, yeah? Who is the one who saved his da'wah to his ummah? In other hadith he said, every Prophet had a da'wah to his ummah except me. I saved my da'wah to the Day of Judgment, to my ummah. He didn't say it, he didn't reveal it. That's him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's the one who's going to kneel under the throne of Rahman. And everybody say, myself, myself. Even the prophet, Noah, Adam, Musa, Isa, they'll say, myself, myself. Except him, will say, ummati, ummati. How much you love him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the way...
Golf blue RV 62 park around the corner. They need to move it, because if there's a fire brigade, they can't come in. 62.
Okay, what's the number again, sorry?
RV62.
RV62. It needs to be moved, please, sorry. Sorry about this. So, the ayah when saying, اعلموا أن فيكم رسول الله, even after his death. That's why the Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, this is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the way he loved us, and this is the way we should love him. And also, you have to make sure and to make a line between how much you love him and how much he loves you. That's a big difference. That's a huge difference. We know we love him. It's simple. If us, but how much he loves you? Oh, that is a big question now. And you know, some people know how much the Prophet loved them. You know who? The people who saw him in their dreams. Because if they saw the Prophet, the shaitan never can be in the same shape as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you saw the Prophet in your dreams, how much? When our love to the Prophet get too much, what we do? We go to Mecca, yeah? We go to Medina, and we go to see his grave, yeah, and we go and pray there. But imagine if he missed you that much. He will come to you. He'll come to you. He'll come to you in your dream. And he will say, Assalamu alaikum. Wallahi, I think I say that story before. It's an ustaz. It's mine. We used to do qiyam together. This is off book now, seriously. I didn't even put this here. I didn't even know about what he's doing now, but he used to come in every day to the Salat al-Fajr. And his name is Abdul Ati. And he has the best smile you can ever see. He's always smiling, mashallah. Always has a lovely, simple smile in his face. And one day, he wasn't smiling. And for him to not smile is notable. Like, you know, when you have this someone, you know his face all the time, and you know, but when he changed, everyone is noticed. So the entire mosque in that day, he noticed not smiling. And of course, we start to talk to each other. Wallahi, I remember that day like yesterday. We start to talk to each other. Abdul Hati is not smiling. Allahu Akbar, something is wrong. It can't be normal. Because you know, we see him every single day for years, as long as I lived, as long as I went to the mosque, I can see him smiling. Except that day. And we all get embarrassed to ask him, why are you not smiling? After the Fajr Salah. Wallahi, this just came in my mind. Wallahi, I didn't even prepare it. After we finished, not me, of course, it was one of my other ustaz. They bring him over and say, Abdul Ati, what's wrong with you? We have never seen you over almost 35 years not smiling. But why today? What happened? And the answer was, almost half the mosque was crying. Wallahi. He said, I've never wanted to say that, but after 35 years, this is the only night tonight I haven't seen the Prophet in my dream. Wallahi. Wallahi, we were sitting like, Allahu Akbar. Wallahi, wallahi, that was his saying. What have you done in your life to have this blessing, seeing the Prophet every single day of your life for 35 years? And then what he said, he answered, said, no, actually, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried what I have done tonight is stopping the Prophet come and visiting me. Makes you think. See how much he loves him now? How much you love him. It doesn't matter how much you love him. It matters how much he loves you. Because this is the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam come and revealed himself to you. Imagine we travel all the way to Mecca, and we fight people, and we pushing, and we pay money, and we live in just to see him, and he just come to you like that. It's a blessing. This is who we're talking about tonight, inshallah. He is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is the one who even his enemy would never say something, but he will honor him. And we speak to him and say but the truth about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Listen to Herakle Azim Rum, Hercules, the emperor of Roma, He, when he knows that someone from Quraysh is there, he invited him Because he was starting to hear about the Prophet and what he's doing and stuff. Say, bring me that guy. It was Abu Sufyan, by the way. His best enemy. Take it this way. Abu Sufyan, he never loved the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Heracles said, invite this guy. I need to ask about Muhammad. And his enemy said, come here. Who is this guy who claimed there is no God but Allah and he's come from the desert? Tell me about him. And he asked him about 5 or 6 questions. Does he lie? He's asking Abu Sufyan. And Abu Sufyan obviously said, no, he doesn't lie. He said, what about, does he betray his friend? He said, no, he doesn't. Okay, what did he ask you to do? He asked her to do salah, zakah, and to look after a family, look after a relative. Then he asked him again, how is his family in among you? Are the poor people or rich people? He said, in the middle. They're not poor, they're not rich. He said, how about the people who follow him? Does he increase or they decrease? He said, no, they increase. And they never lift him back. Once he's in, they never get out. Then Heracles asked Abu Sufyan to come even closer. And he whispered in his ears. You know what did he say? He said, if this guy, what you just said about him now, is true, he will own where we're standing at the moment. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you just did a lie to me, and this is his enemy. They're not even his friends. They're not even his follower or companion. No, the enemy. And this is what we're talking about, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was a quick entry. It should be more quicker than that. But let's see how is the world looks like. Let's start to see it now, just now. How is the world looks like in the time of the Prophet, just about the Prophet born? Just like I would say, maybe 3 months before the Prophet's birth. The world is, take it this way, we're going to talk about the entire world, and then we're going to talk about the Arabian island, and within Mecca. The three things. The world, 2 superpowers, the Roman and the Persian. This is the world. And the more injustice you can see, as much as you want, the injustice in this time, absolutely limitless. We can see, the Roman, when we see that they make an arena and they throw people to fight each other, and sometimes they put lion and tigers. That is the Roman Empire by the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was, look, and the people were laughing about them. This is how injusted they were. And the Persian is the same. The Persian was 3 levels. The first one is called Al-Akasira. Al-Akasira, the kings. And underneath them, Al-Kahana, the priests. And underneath them, the rest of the people who can't even find food. This is quickly how is the 2 empire in the world looks like. No justice, too much tax for the people. People can't fight each other for the food just to eat. What about Europe, where we are currently at the moment? Enough to tell you about Europe, honestly. There is a writer, English writer, his name is Yeles. He's from Scotland. He talked about the 6th century. He had a book talking about the 6th century. It was exactly AD, 570 AD. This is the time he wrote his book. And he was saying, Europe back this time was like a dead body who's rotted. He described in Europe. They even look at the woman as a goat. They used to sell women. This is Europe. Europe was looking, the eclipse? When you see eclipse for this... Europe used to see eclipse as a monster who eat in the sun, and they hide in the houses because they worry about the monster. See how the mentality was. This is what Europe used to be. And subhanAllah, subhanAllah, things go upside down. But this is how the world looks like. So this is the entire world. So okay, we're going to go down a little bit and we'll go to the Arab countries or Arab tribes, take it this way, which was even worse. The Arab tribes, back this time, was over 522 tribes. And what do you do? All what they do in their lives, the stronger, literally attack the weaker. What I'm saying currently is, what I'm trying to say is, to tell you exactly how, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes, what is the world looks like, and what is the island of the Arabian island looks like, and what is Mecca looks like. This is what I wanted to put, to literally draw this picture. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, how hard the mission will it be, and no compare of any bad situation you will be comparing to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It won't be. Wallahi, it won't be. So the Arabian tribes, the about over 522 tribes, they kill each other. They kidnap the kids from each other. One of them was Sayyidina Zayd ibn Haritha. We'll come to this later. He was kidnapped from one of the tribes, and he'd been sold in Mecca and became Zayd ibn Muhammad. We will come to this later, inshallah. Sayyidina Zayd ibn Haritha, a Sahabi, he's been kidnapped. So what they do is they kill each other. What about women back this time? The woman back this time is exactly they being sold. They have no right to inherit. So for example, if someone passed away, and there's two ladies there, they can just, okay, you take £500, £200, and you take one lady, and just take one lady. That's how the woman would be treated back this time. No right whatsoever. Even worse, they used to be killed. You know the word, you awdul banat. They used to be, if the baby born a girl, they used to get the lady who was pregnant, and they dig a hole in the desert. As soon as they give birth, they look at the baby. If it's a boy, they take her home. If it's a girl, literally in the hole, straight away. See how bad. See, subhanAllah, 10 years after this incident, only 10 years after this incident, look how the girl being treated. Only 10 years after this incident, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith will say, who had three girls and look after them, and he put mercy on them, and he treated them properly, he will guarantee Jannah. Look how the change will make, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the mentality of these people, from the being killed and literally thrown in a hole, to like, look, just look after your girls. Wallahi, it's a hadith. Just look after them, and you'll be guaranteed Jannah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What about what else in Arabian island? What do you do? Worship idols. They have over 500 idols. They used to worship them, and if it's quite big, it's quite funny actually. It's quite, if he's have his god, whatever he call it, is big, and he's traveling, he can go up to the desert, look for a smaller one, smaller stone, to put it in his pocket to worship it. By the time he travel and coming back, and when he come back, he throw him away, and he back to his. You know how silly they used to do things. You know, if it's raining outside, he doesn't bother to go to worship the idol who's outside. He can make his own one. And he can make it with date, agua. He can make it with date. And he probably can feel hungry in the evening, he can eat it. And he feel guilty in the morning because he eat his own god. Wallahi, this is exactly how it works. And he get guilty and he get another one. This is how they used to, that's the Arabian country. And look when they get the lady, say, look at the Quran, he's describing this incident. And he said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدَهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ظَلَّ وَجْهَهُ مِسْوَدًّا كَأَنَّهُ كَظِيمٌ لَا حَوْلَ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The Quran said, if someone has been told he got a girl, this is what the Quran described this incident. His face became dark and angry. مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ. يعني, because he's really, and look at the ayah said, يَتَوَارَى عَنِ الْقَوْمِ. He's hiding away from the people. Oh, I got a girl, he's feel ashamed. Subhanallah. See, because only he got a girl for no reason. For no reason. This is the Arabian culture. Quickly, what is left? Mecca. So now we went the entire world. Please, we're going to stop for that then. For 2 minutes.
Allah
Akbar,
Allah Akbar.
Allah Akbar,
Allah Akbar.
Allah Akbar.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.
أشهد.
أشهد أن محمدا رسول. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu
Akbar.
Dear brother and sister, so we got 10 minutes or maybe less. So inshallah I will try to describe how is the Mecca looks like in this time. So we know how the world looks like, we know how the Arabian country looks like. Now we're going to see a closer look at Mecca. And whoever think Mecca back this time it was just a country in a desert, he's wrong. Mecca will be counted this time as exactly the World Trade Center. It's absolutely every single trade coming from China all the way to Yemen, it has to go across Mecca, take it this way. It was very rich tribes. It was very rich among the entire. Even the Quran will describe it and say, and Allah reminded them and say, أَوَلَمْ نُمَكِّنْ لَكُمْ حَرَمًا آمِنًا. Look, Allah will tell the Quraysh, we already make a safe place for you to stay. أَوَلَمْ نُمَكِّنْ لَكُمْ حَرَمًا وَيُتَخَطَّفُ النَّاسُ مِنْ حَوْلِكُمْ. Even the entire tribe after, behind you and next to you, they actually killing each other except you. And you don't believe in me? This is what Allah will tell Mecca. And even, look, when the Quraysh, they're quite clever. When you want to secure the trade between, you know, رحلة الشتاء والصيف, Surah Quraysh. رحلة الشتاء والصيف, the tribe in winter and the summer. To secure it, they have made agreement between the entire tribes, just to secure the trade between the Sham and Yemen. And they make tahalufat in Arabic is agreement. That's why the surah was said, li'ilaf. Ilaf, it means tahaluf, it means agreement. Li'ilaf, Quraysh, ilafim. That's why they made the tahalufat with each other, just to secure the trade inside it. And imagine the Prophet will come after this and say, oh, excuse me, we need to turn this all down. So the situation was in Mecca, and they have inside the Kaaba 360 idols, 360 statues. Every qabil, every tribes, they have to give the one of the, call it gods, to Mecca to put it inside Kaaba, to honor it. It's like a flag, you know, the European Union, you bought flags. So every qabila came to Mecca, and they put this inside the Kaaba, and that now is being honored. And imagine, the Prophet come years after that, said, you have to take all this down. And there's no, this is not God. God is one and only. And this is the, so the problem between them wasn't religious. It was all economy. It was all like, do you want me to give my back to all this money and all these trips and all these tribes and all these statues just because you tell God one only? I wouldn't do that. And this is the shaitan when he tricks you. He tells you where is the right thing. And you probably know where is the right thing. But he will tie up with your needs. He will tie up with something you need. And now we have to choose. Shall I just go with the right thing? Or shall I just, oh, come on, I need money. I need to look after my family. I need to look after my, you know. This is how the shaitan play all the time. Because eventually, if there is no need for you, your heart and your mind will go with the right thing. Come on, it's a stone. It's a stone. Yes, it will be, but the shaitan always tricky that. I will finish with this, the hadith. Abu Jahl, Amr ibn Hisham. When he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet invited him and said, Allah, la ilaha illallah, he said, Abu Jahl just said it to the Prophet, said, Wallahi, if I know you are honest, I will believe you, but you are a liar. Allahu Akbar. Abu Jahl just said that to him, just like that, in his face. And the Prophet left, just gone. And he was sitting with one of his friends by Kaaba, and Abu Jahl leaned in his guy and said, you know what, I know he's honest. I know this guy saying the truth. But look at the hadith. But نَحْنُ وَبَنِي عَبْدِ مَنَافِ. So Bani Abdi Manaf is a family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Said, we and Bani Abdi Manaf, we like كَفَرَسَيْنَ رَهَان. We both like two horses running in a race. They kill camels, we kill camels. They give charity, we give charity. They look after people, we look after people. Now they say the Prophet come from them. How can we do that? See, you see the logic behind the whole thing? It's nothing to do with religion. It's nothing to do with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because they know he's right. And they know he's saying the right thing. But the kibr wal-iyadu billah. And the kibr wal-iyadu billah doesn't get the idea like, how can I let him to be the Prophet? How are we going to get a Prophet now in Bani Makhzum? Bani Makhzum, the family of Abu Jahl. And Bani Abd Manaf is the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that's what it's all about. It's never been a religious. I have to stop here today, inshallah. And tomorrow, hopefully, we'll start with the day with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. And we're going to see what his name is, and why he's been called Muhammad, and why he's been called Ahmed, and why he's named Muhammad in the Bible, but not Muhammad, but in the Quran he's being called Muhammad. And we know lots of details about the name. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ